Prayer. Father, we praise you for this hymn we've just sung. We praise you for the salvation that Jesus purchased for us at Calvary. We praise you that though we were lost in our sins and headed for hell, you came to us with the message of salvation, offered it freely as a gift, and each of us here today as believers has trusted in Jesus, accepted that gift, and we are on our way to heaven, not for any righteousness we have done, but because of his righteousness and because of that sacrifice where he took all of our sins on himself. Father, your love for us and your mercy and your grace are beyond our comprehension, but we know they're true. And we love you for that. We praise you for that. We pray that our worship has and will bring joy to your heart as we thank you and praise you in this hour. And pray that as we listen to your word preached, that we will listen attentively, that we will hear what your scriptures are saying to us through our brother. Pray that you bless Pastor as he brings the message. Fill him with your spirit. And we pray that in all that is done in this hour, your name will be glorified, will be lifted to your throne, will be drawn closer to you and to one another, and encouraged as we head out into a new week to proclaim your truth and to live the life before others. Thank you for this hour, and we commit it to you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
We're looking at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goes. And to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your sovereignty. You are the Lord God Almighty, the God of heaven and earth, and we thank you that you have redeemed us from our sins and given us eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in all of the blessings that you have given to us. And Lord, thank you for your constant guidance and leadership. We do pray this morning, our Father, as we remember once again the awful day of 9/11. We pray for our country. Lord, help us. Have mercy upon us, our Father. I know as a nation we do not deserve your grace and mercy, but we do cry out for it and pray that you'll help us. Pray that many more people would turn to you and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would put out those who are ungodly. I think especially of our leadership. We pray that your will would be done concerning the upcoming elections and all of that. We just pray your holy will be done, O Lord. And Father, we thank you for Grandparents Day. We think of all the grandparents and the desire that they have to bless their families. And we just pray that you'll continue to help us to take our responsibility seriously and seek to help those little ones that look to us. And Lord, we just pray today that you'd bless your word to our hearts. We pray for those who are ill, cannot be with us today, some who perhaps have other responsibilities. We pray for them as well, and that you'll bring them back. We pray that we might see new people come, that we might have the opportunity of reaching more and more with the gospel of Christ. We just pray your holy will be done. We think of the special meeting on Tuesday night and pray that we might get some good contacts with them and be a blessing to them as our neighbors. And Lord, we just ask you to guide and help us in everything that we do. Bless your word and speak to us and teach us what we need to know. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
807, and sing My Country 'Tis of Thee, 807.
to Matthew chapter 8. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus presents himself as a king and describes the nature of his kingdom and how his disciples are to live and follow him. Now, as he comes down from the mountain, he demonstrates his mighty power and authority. So look back here for a moment in chapter 7, verse 28. It came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. We find the power and the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated. He has spoken forth the words of this great sermon that we've looked at for several weeks now. And now he demonstrates who he is and how he can fulfill what he has said. So he's putting his actions where his mouth is, so to speak, right? And here we find he's coming down from the mountain. And notice it says there's great multitudes follow him. There were a lot of people there, right? Listening to his words. And everywhere he went, he gathered together all of these people. And it was because of his way of speaking. And he brought forth the truth of God's word in such a clear way. And now he's demonstrating. Before he had said it many times to his disciples, don't tell anybody who I am, right? But now it seems he's little by little demonstrating to them by his actions who he really is. He says that he has the power and the authority that God has given to him. These people were astonished at the doctrine he was bringing. He was not like the scribes and the Pharisees who always had to quote someone else or read a book here and that kind of thing. And like we do today, we have to take from the word. But Jesus, he had it for himself. He is the word, right? In the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. And he is demonstrating here by his life who he was. They could see clearly that he taught them with authority and power. Look with me in Luke chapter 4. I have a verse here. Luke 4 and verse 32, I believe it is. What does it say? Luke 4, 32. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. See, he spoke forth the word of God, and it brought out the power of God. So they were astonished wherever he went, proclaiming the word. Now, the Gospel of Matthew, you remember, presents Jesus Christ as the king. He is the ultimate ruler. The one who is over all. And we see, thinking back through this gospel in Matthew chapter 1, of course, the birth of the king. You have the wise men coming from the east to honor him, and others, the shepherds, coming and worshiping him. And then in chapter 2, the wise men. Then chapter 3, John the Baptist begins to preach, and he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn from your way, change your mind, change your way of thinking, and realize that the king is coming. The king is here, and you need to prepare for him." In chapter 4, Jesus is tempted by Satan. It said that the Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. So this is part of God's plan to show that he was able to overcome his arch enemy, Satan, and had all the power and authority. in chapters 5 through 7, we just finished looking at the Sermon on the Mount, where the principles of God's kingdom were laid down and explained. And now, beginning in chapter 8, we see Jesus' authority presented not only in word, but also in deed, his works. He was fulfilling here what he said. So what happens? Great multitudes are there. And then what? The next verse says, "And behold, there came a leper." There came a leper. With all the great multitudes all around, you see, you can just imagine them backing up, right? Here's the leper coming to Jesus. And it says, "There came a leper and worshipped him, bowed down before him, recognized who he was, saying," what? "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Lord. This word I was reading a note here is the word kurios, which means master, the one who is in charge, and it's used of God throughout the translation, I'm trying to say. From the Old Testament, where it talks about God, well, in the New Testament, it's kurios. And Jesus is referred to over and over and over again as Lord. That's the main word that's used in the epistles for him. And it means that he is God himself in human form. And it's mentioned, oh, here it is, 663 times. Excuse me. This word is used in relation to the Lord Jesus. So, Lord, this man came, this leper, and of course, we know how the lepers lived, didn't we? They had to live all by themselves. They could not come near anyone else. And whenever anyone came within sight, they had to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" And they had a terrible existence. You could hardly call it a life. He had to leave everyone he loved and was all alone in the graveyard or in the caves or someplace like that. But here, he gets up enough courage and no doubt faith. He had faith. He knew that Jesus could do something for him, right? He says, "Lord, if thou wilt, if it is your will, you can make me clean." Wow, what kind of faith did this man have? He had heard about Jesus, no doubt. He knew what he was doing. Perhaps he had even stood in the background and listened to the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know. That's just a guess. But at any rate, he knew who Jesus was. And he says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." You know, it's wonderful when God restores someone to pure health, right? Or to some other blessing that's poured out upon them. It's just wonderful to know that God is able to do that. And yet he doesn't always do it, does he? He says, "If thou wilt, you can do this." So Jesus is not always willing to do it because he knows there's something else better. Right? We might not think so, but he knows, you see. He has the answers, and he knows exactly what is best. So here we find Jesus is willing. He says, "Yes, I will. It's my will to do it. Be thou clean." And then a significant thing. What does it say? Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. I wonder when was the last time this man had been touched by anyone, right? And yet Jesus was willing to reach out and contaminate himself by touching this leper. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Wow. You know, God can do miracles, can he? Yes, he does. And here we find Jesus defeating the worst disease that they knew anything about, right? Leprosy at that time was incurable. I know there's some other skin diseases and so forth that went under that title, and sometimes the priest could pronounce them clean. But real leprosy, like apparently this man had, there was no way of making it better. It only got worse. But then we find here, Jesus touches him, and he heals him, and sets him free from this dreadful disease. I have the other account here in Mark chapter 1. I wanted to read that to you. It's a little bit longer. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And it says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him." And that's what it means. Worship is to bow before, right? When you're worshiping, you bow before the Lord. "And kneeling down to him, and saying to him, 'If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.'" Okay? "And Jesus," notice, "moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, 'I will, be thou clean.' And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him," okay, "'See, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them.'" So Jesus gave him some instructions as to what to do to obey the law. See, they were still under the law of Moses. And he says, "You go, see the priest, make sure he pronounces you clean so that you can return to your former life and to your family and all of that. Have no more problems." So he says here, don't say anything to anyone else. Just go to the priest. Okay? Now, in Mark chapter 1 and verse 45, notice what this man did. What did he do? "But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." So, this man got so excited, right? I mean, how could you blame him? He had been a leper for who knows how long, and now Jesus cleansed him. And he's so excited, everywhere he goes, he tells everybody. Jesus said, "Don't tell anybody," right? But he did. And it was a problem for Jesus, because then he was no longer able to stay there where he was. People, you know, were crowding in on him and all this, and the authorities perhaps were giving him trouble. So he had to go outside of the city, out into the desert area, and preach out there. But anyway, we see the grace of God. You know, he didn't all of a sudden say, "Okay, you disobeyed me, I'm going to zap you with leprosy." You see that? He still was clean, wasn't he? You know, and isn't it wonderful, just to make an application, isn't it wonderful how God blesses us and helps us and guides us when once we come to Christ, we are saved by the grace of God, and then we do things we shouldn't do. Then we disobey, right? But he doesn't cast us away. Isn't that great? He's still going to keep us no matter what. And that doesn't mean we should do bad things, right? Because he is able to make us stop and think, you know? Sometimes God has to chastise us because of our our sins or our disobedience. But it's wonderful to know that once we come to Him, and once we are saved by the grace of God, we have salvation forever and ever. Right? He's not going to cast us away. He's promised that. And here, this is what happened with this leprosy. My mouth's getting dry. Anyway, don't go get water. I'll be all right. This leper. And how God delivered him. And that's a picture of each and every one of us. You know, leprosy throughout the Bible is spoken of as a type of sin. And we all are infected by sin. We were talking about this in Sunday school this morning. Before we come to Christ, we're all sinners, right? And it's only through His cleansing power, through the power that He has, that He can make us clean. And not that we don't still slip and fall, as I say, but we are cleansed. We are made clean in His sight, and we have eternal life. So that's the wonderful thing about the leper. Then we see the next case here, verse 5. Jesus entered into Capernaum. So apparently this mountain where he wasn't too far away. And he comes on down and goes to Capernaum. And there comes to him a centurion. You know, a centurion was a Roman soldier, right? Not under the covenant of Israel, right? This was one of the occupiers of the land, one who would be considered an enemy by the people of the nation. He was a Roman commander of at least 100 men. That's, like century, 100 years. This is 100 people under him. And he was one of the important officers in the Roman army. I was reading about this too. It says that the centurions were the best of the Roman establishment. And if you read, as you read through the New Testament, you see about centurions, they're always spoken of in a good light. And here, this man had faith in Christ. Even though he was not of the nation Israel at that time, he was a Gentile. And yet he comes to him with a request. And says here, he's beseeching him, begging him, and saying, "Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." He had a person that worked for him, no doubt a slave, usually slaves were not even considered people. They were tools, right? And yet this centurion had a special relationship with this servant, this slave, and when he got sick, he wants to see him cured. He wants to see him well again and enjoying life. So he says he's at home sick of the palsy. And from what I understand about the palsy, it's a disease that makes you paralytic. You can't move and so forth. And he says he's grievously tormented. So he was suffering a great deal. And so the centurion comes to Jesus and asks him for help. And what does Jesus say? "And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him." Now I read that in another version of the Bible, and he said, it's a question. Shall I come and heal him? And, there's no punctuation in the original, so you can't really be sure. But at any rate, speaking about coming and healing, Jesus once again is willing to reach out to this man, even though he's not of Israel. This is a Gentile, one that's outside, and one who would not ordinarily be considered for help. And so then, the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy. Notice, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Speak the word only. He had faith to believe that Jesus had the power to heal this man from a distance. He didn't even have to go, remember? He touched the leper and healed him. But this man, some distance away, he didn't even have to go there. Why did he do this? Now, you know, you remember the story of Peter up on the housetop at noontime, and he dreamed this dream, and the sheet came down with all this different food in it, and the voice said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." He said, "Oh, no, no. I've never eaten anything that's unclean," right? And God says, "What I have cleansed, call not unclean." See? Because whatever he says is what goes, right? It always is. And at any rate, we find here, this centurion apparently knew the law of the Jews, and he knew that a Jewish person was not supposed to enter into the house of a Gentile. So he says, "No, no, I'm not worthy for you to come. I don't want you to get into trouble with the authorities or whatever," right? And so he says, "All you've got to do is say the word." And notice what he says here. This is about the authority. "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to one, you go, and he goes. To another one, come, and he comes." You know, whatever I say is what he does, because I am in authority. And he's saying here to Jesus, "You are in authority," right? You're the one who is over me. You're the one that's over all of us. And whatever you say will be what happens. So you can see the faith of this man. When Jesus heard it, notice what he says. "He marveled and said to them all, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Among all the people that Jesus had dealt with in Israel, those who had read the Old Testament, they knew it, many of them by heart. And yet he says, "This man has more faith than anyone else I have come across, even though he's a Gentile." And with that, Jesus uses this to say, "Hey, did you know? Hey, did you know that there's going to be people coming from the east and from the west, people from all different nations, that are going to sit down and eat with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God?" See? God so loved the world, right? And he is willing to accept anyone who will come to him in faith, believing, and put his faith and trust in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, he's saying that this is what's going to happen. But, notice, the children of the kingdom. Now that would be ordinarily the people of Israel, right? The children of the kingdom. "Shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Why? You remember what happens? Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. Right? That's what happened. So therefore, those who would have been children of the kingdom are going to be cast out because they refused to accept Jesus when he came. And but many from other places, those who put their faith and trust in Christ, will have salvation. So that's a wonderful thing to think about, isn't it? That we all have our faith in Christ, and that no matter where we come from, no matter what our ethnic background might be, he's willing to accept us. if we just put our faith and trust in him. So Jesus said in verse 13, he said to the centurion, go thy way, and as you have believed, may it be done unto you. Okay? That's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what we harp on all the time. You have to believe. Put your faith and trust in Christ. He is the way of salvation. And here we find him when he was here on the earth, presenting himself as the way. And he says, it'll be done to you as you have believed. And what happened? His servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Right. Even though it was a distance, Jesus never even met the man, and yet he healed him because the centurion had placed his faith in him. So here we have these wonderful examples showing us the power and the authority that Jesus had in their lives. And he answered their prayers. So then the next one, the last one here, is Jesus and Peter's mother-in-law. Did you know that Peter had a mother-in-law? What would that mean? Would that mean that Peter had a wife? Mm-hmm. Huh? Okay. That's wonderful. And he took his wife with him on his journeys. Did you know that? When he went around preaching and the other places. Paul says in one place, you know, Barnabas and I, could have a wife and take her along like Cephas, like Peter and the others do. So, anyway, that's neither here nor there. His wife's mother. Okay, and Jesus came in. Apparently, this was on the Sabbath day, and I believe, if I understand it right, he was coming from the synagogue, and she was there at home, sick. He went to Peter's house. This is where, apparently, Jesus set up his headquarters, there in Capernaum, in the home of Peter, because he says in one place, he didn't have a place of his own, right? So probably, I'm not quite sure about that, but I think so. Anyhow, he goes in, and he finds Peter's mother-in-law there, sick in the bed, and what does it say? Very simply, here she had a fever. He saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her. Did this woman have faith? What do you think? Does it say that she had faith? It doesn't say, does it? I would say she did. Yeah? This was Peter's mother-in-law, right? I'm sure. But at any rate, that's neither here nor there. He touched her hand and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. So here we find a complete cure. This woman's there with a fever. She can't do anything. And Jesus comes in, touches her on the hand. And she gets up and starts working. Fixing lunch, no doubt. And whatever else they were doing there on that Sabbath day. And she ministered unto them. He healed her and she served him. Now that's a good picture, isn't it? Just think of that for a minute. If Jesus has done something for you, what should you do for him? Huh? How about that? You know, not that you have to, but shouldn't we? You know, if somebody does you a favor, don't you feel like doing something for them? I think that's the way this lady felt. And so she gets up and goes about her work and prepares a meal or whatever else she was doing for them. And so there we have another example of what Jesus was doing. He saw her need, her condition, he touched her, and the fever left her. Shackled by a heavy burden, beneath a load of sin and care, then the hand of Jesus touched me. and now I am no longer alone. Something like that. I can't remember all the words, but unless you're a musician, you don't know any better. So that's all right. He touched me. It's wonderful when Jesus touches us and helps us to know him and to have our needs met. So then she served him. She was restored to a place of usefulness. And then the last part here that we're going to look at this morning, verse 16. It says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils or demons, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. So here's Jesus, real still busy at the evening time, healing those who come and casting out these evil spirits. It says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Now this is taken from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So here we see Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, coming in fulfillment to the scriptures, right? And accomplishing what they said he would do, showing that he is the genuine Savior, the one who had come to save his people from their sins, the one who had come to set them free. So now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. So after doing all this work, and no doubt the people, it says in one place that they wanted to make him king. You know, they saw, hey, this must be it. This seems to be the Savior, the Redeemer. So they wanted to make him king. And he said, okay, let's get in the boat and go on the other side, right? That was the end of that episode. Jesus wasn't ready to become the king yet, right? But he will be the king someday. He's coming again, and we're waiting and looking and watching for him to come, take us home, and then come back and rule and reign here upon the earth. What a wonderful Savior he is. And we just want to serve him, look at him, and see who he is, and honor and magnify his name. He's the one who has all power in heaven and in earth. And he's told us, go therefore and reach all nations, preaching the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Lord, and following in his footsteps. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning, and for all that the Lord Jesus has done for us. We just praise you and thank you, and pray that you'll help us that we might serve you with all of our hearts and all of our souls. And I pray for anyone who has never been saved by the grace of God, that you might bring that one to yourself today. Lord, you know the heart. You know each and every one. And we just pray that if there is anyone who's never fully understood and put their faith in Christ, that this would be the day of salvation. And help us all to walk in fellowship with you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.